And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy. I don't know what that was either. Welcome to this edition of the Malloy Podcast. If we didn't start all fucked up like that, it wouldn't be a Malloy Podcast. Today's what, 17th or 18th? 17th of July 2018. Next hour, we will attempt to take some phone calls. Kathy tells me it's easy enough to do, so we'll find out. A couple of things about Trump, and then I want to get onto some other issues for a change. There's not too much left to say about Trump. When you come to this podcast, I don't know if that's what you want to hear. You've been listening to shit all day, probably, on your radio or television or what have you. I know a lot of that happens here at the Malloy Homestead. Although, Kathy got so wired watching this stuff last night, she didn't go to sleep until what, 3:30 this morning? 4:30 this morning. I don't do that. I mean, once I'm finished with one of these podcasts, I may be riled up for 15, 20 minutes, but then it goes away. But anyway, my point being, when you if you spend your day, if you're aware that this country is disappearing and being replaced by a fascist state, if you're aware of all that, you tune into and you listen to various outlets or you read or what have you. And by the time 9 o'clock in the East rolls around, what's left to say that you don't already know? I mean, I can sit here and bitch and yell and scream and curse and call him an asshole and all that, but after a while, even that becomes kind of redundant. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. But there's a couple things here. The resignations are the way to go. I'm surprised. I am truly, truly surprised that after Trump's treasonous behavior in Helsinki, that more people within his administration, if there are any left who still have their heads on right, I don't know why they didn't just en masse resign. Now, I also hear that in reading, the so-called Freedom Caucus in the U.S. House, these extreme right-wing devils, these Christian fucks, they think that Trump did great, and what's the problem with Putin? You know, there's no issue with Putin. Why? Should there be? I mean, you know, Trump is being a masterful leader. I can't understand that. But anyway, resignations. The chairman of Ohio's Belmont County Republicans was sitting in his office. He's a lawyer, sitting in his office on Monday when the press conference with Trump and Putin began. And at the time, this guy, his name is Chris Gagan, he was still satisfied with the role that the Republican Party and Trump were playing in this county. Belmont County is in southeast Ohio, down near West Virginia and Pennsylvania and Kentucky. And it's coal country. But what this attorney did, he spent most of his time working to get Republicans elected because he figures that Republicans will be the best for his little corner of hell in southeast Ohio. However, he turned on the coverage on his television to see how Trump would handle himself in this joint press conference. And he didn't necessarily expect to feel particularly upset or jarred by what he was about to see. But guess what? Here's what he said. Quote, when there was that final question that was directly posed to Trump, that question, do you believe the intelligence community or Putin? And when he wouldn't say that he believes our own intelligence community over the Russian president, and when he said that Putin had been very strong and forceful in his denials, something just snapped, according to this Republican county official. He told Talking Points Memo, which is where this is from. He said, something just snapped. He goes on. When Trump's most fundamental obligation is to represent the security interests of the United States, that was my last straw. End quote. So this attorney, Gagin, emailed a resignation letter to the rest of his committee, the Republican committee in that county, immediately after the press conference. And he felt that as a county party chairman, whose job is purely political, he couldn't continue in the role, especially leading up to a midterm and presidential election cycle that's coming. And it's bound to be dominated in his part of the world, Gagin's part of the world, by Trump-aligned candidates, which to me is treason. But anyway, Gagin said, quote, heading into 2020, if you're not fully committed to the president and his policies, I mean, our objective is to get candidates elected, right? He said. So, apparently, Trump even shocked his own staff when the crazy fucker went completely off the rails on Monday during that presser with Putin. When he was asked point blank, who do you believe regarding the U.S. intelligence community versus Putin? He said, and this is what happened today. Now, this is what he said on Monday. Quote, I don't see any reason why it would be Russia. Today, this weaselly little fucker, you notice how easy it is for Trump to lie? Today, he said, well, I meant to say, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. What? What? Anyway, Trump's entire behavior on this little walkabout that he did all over fucking Europe and Helsinki sparked all kinds of outrage. Current and former government officials and lawmakers were stunned. Now, a lot of the Republicans, being the cowardly little pricks that they were, they're not going to come out and say a thing because they want to hold on to their jobs. They put their personal job or their personal party before the interests and the security of the United States. So it's not just Trump that's committing treason. Every single fascist party member serving in Congress who took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, who doesn't resign right now, is, right along with Trump, committing treason. They don't care. They're Christian! And they're white and they're male. They don't care. They don't have to care. Now, back to Mr. Gagin. He said that despite a staggering amount of calls for so-called patriots to resign in objection to Trump's performance at the summit, Gagin said he might be the only one in the country who felt he couldn't stay in this position with good conscience. One former Iowa state lawmaker, a guy named Ken Reiser, did announce in a Facebook post after the summit on Monday that he had left the Republican Party over Trump's bullshit on the foreign policy front. Now, Gagin says that he expects being ostracized locally. You resign as a matter of conscience because the president of the United States is willfully and gleefully acting the role of a traitor to the United States, completely, completely violating his oath of office. And if you react to that, because you're in Trump's party. If you react to that by saying, you know, enough of this shit, I'm out of here, then the voters, the brain dead fuckwads who put him there, in this case, in this county, what is it, Belmont County? Yeah, Belmont County Republicans in Southeast Ohio. The dumb shits there who put him in office, they're going to go after Mr. Gagin for resigning because he just watched the President of the United States in several treasonous acts. Now, why treason? Treason is a term that's been bandied about quite a bit lately. Well, treason, there's some people, can you still hear me? Okay. There's some people who believe that treason is a crime that can only be committed during wartime. That if you give aid and comfort to a once and future enemy, and you're not involved in direct military conflict with that person, then it's not really treason. You might be an asshole for doing it, but it's not really treason. But hasn't everybody in this country, including the filth that runs the Republican Party in the House and the Senate, including those cockroaches, haven't they all said now at this point that Russia has attacked the United States, continues to attack, cyber warfare, it's just different kind of warfare, that the attack continues to go on, and these former Republicans who are now fascists, they are concerned, so they say, about the Russians' efforts in the election coming up in 2018 and 2020. In other words, they know goddamn good and well that this hasn't stopped. Why the fuck should it stop? Putin's boy in the White House is making it easy for Putin to continue his warfare against the United States. So that's treason, what Trump is doing. He's throwing this country over so he can hobnob for whatever fucking reason. I wish somebody would just come up with the real reason Trump is doing this, other than he's a dumb shit. We all know that. He's an obstinate dumb shit. If somebody says, you know, I wish somebody would say to him, don't jump off that 20-story building. Whatever you do, don't do that. You can't do it. You're forbidden. Don't do it. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, back to Gagin. He says he knows he's going to be ostracized locally. And he says he's pretty sure he'll be one of the few who quits in objection to what some are calling the darkest moment in American history. Well, that might be a little over the top, but it's one of the darkest moments in American history, isn't it? Now, Gagin is, I guess it's easier for him to quit because he considered himself to be a moderate Republican at one time, as a matter of fact. Back in 2013, he was a Democrat and switched to the Republican Party because he thought, like a lot of us did, still do, that the Democratic Party had become some fucking remote organization that didn't pay any attention to what the American people really wanted. Oh, they were good at the rhetoric, the Democrats. But the Democrats have gotten worse and worse and worse. No spine, no reason. Now, I'm not talking about all of them in the House and the Senate, but the vast majority, as far as I'm concerned. Gagin said, quote, unless you have an attack of conscience, there's nothing forcing you to do anything unless someone in the intelligence community makes that decision. I don't think you'll see more people resign. There's too many fearful of going against the president in the Republican Party, and quite frankly, there's nowhere else to go. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Gagin, in the first place, you're not resigning from the Republican Party. You're resigning from the Trump cult, a.k.a. the American Fascist Party. And as far as no place else to go, well, sure there is. Of course there is. You just reestablish the Republican Party. Your party now is not Republican. Anybody who still considers themselves to be a Republican, whether it's an office holder or just, you know, a regular person, you better wake up and smell the brimstone. You are not in the Republican Party. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you think the leadership of the Republican Party, that would be Trump, in his Manchurian candidate role with Vladimir Putin, do you really think that is the Republican Party? You delusional fuck. If you think that, then carry on. You have no idea what you're doing. Whatever. Now, four members of the Homeland Security Advisory Council resigned in protest over the Trump administration's immigration policies. They said those policies are, quote, morally repugnant. The policy of separating migrant families at the border. Morally repugnant. Richard Danzig, former Secretary of the Navy, Elizabeth Holtzman, former Democratic Congresswoman, were among the group that announced her resignation. In a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, that lying goddamn person, right? The group that, according to the Washington Post, the group that turned in the resignation noted that the Department of Homeland Security did not consult the Advisory Council before implementing that policy that sent 2,500 children somewhere away from their parents. Until this miserable fuck in the White House, Trump, reversed his endorsement of the policy after an international outcry about the United States. What has this country become? Has been the chorus all over the world. Doesn't make any difference where. Our enemies are saying it. What few friends we have left are saying it. Nations who give a fuck about us are saying it. Everybody's, what happened to the United States? Well, it's been a long time coming. Trump is like the boil that has been building up on America's skin for a long time. And Trump became the pus that burst out of that boil. And now the whole face of America is infected with a staph infection. That's what's happened. Trump didn't do all this. This has been going on ever since Reagan. Slowly, incrementally, the Republican Party telling people, fuck you, we're only interested in money, we're only interested in capitalism, we're only interested in oil and gas and coal, we're only interested in destroying the planet, not the planet, but destroying the human race, because we're Christians. We are white male Christians, and we can do any goddamn thing we want to do. In the resignation letter, the group that advised Homeland Security said this, quote, were we consulted, we would have observed that routinely taking children from migrant parents was morally repugnant, counterproductive, and ill-considered. We cannot tolerate association with the immigration policies of this administration, nor the illusion that we were consulted on these matters, end quote. Two other administration officials, David Martin, a former Department of Homeland Security Deputy General Counsel, Matthew Olson, who served as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, they also resigned. Now, Bill Bratton, remember him, former police commissioner in New York City? He's the vice chairman of that advisory council. He thanked the group for their service in an email. Thank you for your service. Thanked them for their service in an email reply, but he didn't respond directly to the criticism that this group put out. Bill Bratton. Yeah, Bratton wants to keep his job, right? Bratton wrote in his email, quote, each of you was appointed owing to lifelong dedication to the nation and her people. And indeed, I can appreciate that each of you sees this resignation as part of that dedication, end quote. Ooh, what fucking weasel words. Poetic, but weasel words, right? Why doesn't Bill Bratton join the resignation? Or better yet, well, no, that would be the best. But one step short of that, he could have responded in his email, you know, I really understand why you people are doing this. Because Trump is an amoral, unfeeling, sociopathic asshole. Ooh, yeah, Malloy, that's going to happen. And then Tyler Holton, who's a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security, said it was, quote, disappointing but not surprising that appointees from the previous administration would resign. The people who resigned were also involved in the Department of Homeland Security under Obama. But, you know, the Trump cultists are not going to let one opportunity slide by where they can link people's reaction to the horror of this fucker in the White House to Obama. They're not going to let one tiny – no matter how rusty and useless that link is, they're still going to use it. Oh, well, you're in the Obama administration. Well, we knew you were going to quit. Now, after all these resignations, there's still 24 members. Well, oh, and in an interview, Elizabeth Holtzman, one of the resignees, said she didn't believe the resignations would have any impact on Trump's decision-making on immigration. In the first place, Elizabeth Holtzman should know that Trump, and she knows this, Trump doesn't make these decisions. That little fucker Stephen Miller makes these decisions. That evil little son of a bitch. That little Nazi Jew that hovers around Trump like fly around a shit pile. That's the one who's making these immigration policies. Elizabeth should know that. She added, quote, I do think it's important for the American people to see that not everybody connected with the government is a brute, is a lawbreaker, and that actually some of us do have a measure of conscience, end quote. Yeah. But not very many, Elizabeth. If four out of 28 resigned, what is that? One out of seven? Yeah. All right. In order to segue away from this this filthy, filthy topic of – oh, one last thing. Ruth Marcus, who is an op-ed writer for Washington Post. If you watch MSNBC, you've probably seen her on the evening programs. And she wrote a piece that was in today's Washington Post. She writes, everyone who works for President Trump, quit now. Save your souls. Save your honor, such as it is. Save your reputation, such as it remains. Russia attacked our democracy. Trump has demonstrated repeatedly and did so again with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki that he doesn't care and won't defend his own country. If you work for this man and you call yourself a patriot, it's time for you to go. She goes on, this may sound excessive, even irresponsible. Indeed, for months I have agonized over the question of public service in the age of Trump. Of course, as a general matter, it is better to have more grown-ups around Trump, mitigating his worst impulses, providing wisdom born of experience to counter his ignorance and petulance. But Ruth Marcus knows full well he can have 50 adults telling him the best course of action, and this smelly, overweight fucker will not follow anything. It's not in his nature to take advice. He knows everything. He is a stable genius. She goes on, but that assessment assumes facts, not an evidence, that Trump is educable or containable. Actually, the idea of keeping adults around contravenes the available evidence. There is none that Trump has done anything but what Trump wants to do. No evidence that Trump's done anything but what the little fucker wants to do. Monday's news conference made that clear. A foreign adversary, not a competitor, as Trump would have it, an adversary mounted a sustained and multi-front assault on the presidential election specifically to help elect Trump. You know, that was one of the ironic parts of that joint press conference in Helsinki when Putin was asked who he supported. He said, Trump! Hasn't Trump been denying that? Ruth Marcus writes, we knew this before Friday's indictment of 12 Russian intelligence officers for hacking into Democratic computers and emails to help secure Trump's election. So I would ask those who continue to serve Trump, what is the impact and the message of your continued presence? Are you mitigating Trump's excesses or enabling them? Think about it. You are a Republican who loves your country, or you are a foreign policy or intelligence professional. What do you do in the face of Trump's craven capitulation to an adversary? It is a hard choice, but one that Trump is making easier every day. On Monday, he all but forced it. Specifically, U.S. Ambassador to Russia John Huntsman, you cited, quote, the need to hold the Russians accountable for what they did, end quote. In what way did Trump do that? Director of National Intelligence Daniel Coates, you said Friday that as much as with rumblings of a terrorist attack on the United States before 9/11, quote, the warning lights are blinking red again, end quote. This time, on the danger posed by Russian cyber attacks to the 2018 elections. How do you, Dan Coates, continue to serve a president so determined to ignore those flashing lights? And others, CIA Director Gina Haspel, National Security Advisor John Bolton, gulp, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, you understand the Russian threat. Combating it has been part of your life's work. How do you get up every morning and go to work for a man who's so heedless of his responsibilities to this country? How heedless? Before his 2 hours alone with Putin, Trump tweeted, quote, our relationship with Russia has never been worse thanks to many years of U.S. foolishness and stupidity. And now the rigged witch hunt, end quote. And things went downhill from there. At his post-meeting news conference, Trump stood side by side with Putin and, asked about holding Russia accountable, instead replied, I think we're all to blame. I feel we all made mistakes. And on the investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller, he added, that probe is a disaster for our company, our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated, referring to the United States and Russia. And challenged directly one of the questions about whether he would, quote, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016 and would you warn him to never do it again? Trump flat out refused. Now, that's because he is a slimy fucking coward. He not only resorted to his usual misdirection about the Democratic National Committee's computer server, but he also refused to back up the claims of his intelligence director against Putin's denials. Trump said, quote, "My people come to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others, and they said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I'll say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server." End quote. God save us, Ruth Marcus writes. Certainly Congress won't. At least not from the extensive evidence of GOP spinelessness so far. Sure, we saw some post-summit head shaking from the likes of Lindsey Graham and Bob Corker. Better than nothing. But we have suffered months of tutting followed by capitulation. She closes with this, Ruth Marcus. "Perhaps mass resignations of administration officials would rouse a supine Congress. Perhaps this would alarm even some Trump voters who thought they elected a crockery breaker and got, in the most charitable interpretation, a Putin enabler. Perhaps not. But really, administration officials, what good are you doing for yourselves or your country by sticking around for this?" Ruth Marcus writing at the Washington Post. All right, Kathy, if you could give us some segue music so I can get away from this filthy goddamn demon and switch over to something else. Today I was perusing the New York Times, as I am wont to do in the mornings. I get the New York Times delivered, and I subscribe to the Washington Post online. You know, there's something about holding a newspaper. I don't know. I guess I'm of that generation where it feels right. If you're going to read a newspaper and you're not holding it, you're not really reading a newspaper, right? Anyway, so I'm looking at this story about India and about what is happening there with what global warming is doing to that country. In May in Pakistan, scores of people died because of the heat. But the Times reports as many of South Asia's already scorching cities get even hotter. Scientists and economists are warning of a quieter, far more reaching danger, or more far reaching danger. Extreme heat is devastating the health and livelihoods of tens of millions of people. We just don't talk about this, do we? Well, talk about it. Talk is cheap. We don't do anything about it. The article pointed out that if global greenhouse gas emissions continue at their current pace, and they're going to, there's nothing to stop it. Remember, if every single greenhouse gas emitting mechanism were to magically halt tomorrow morning, greenhouse gas emissions would continue. So when they say if global greenhouse gas emissions continue at their current pace, the if doesn't make any sense. Anyway, heat and humidity levels will become unbearable, especially for the poor. You don't suppose this is a plot to kill off a couple, 3 billion? Nah. The article went on to say how the heat and humidity, especially in places like South Asia, are already making people poorer and sicker. Like the Kolkata street vendor who squats on his haunches from fatigue and nausea, like the woman who sells water to tourists in Delhi and passes out from heat stroke, like the women and men with fever and headaches who fill emergency rooms. Sujata Sonic, who served as a senior official in the Indian Ministry of Home Affairs and is now a fellow at Harvard University School of Public Health, says, quote, "These cities are going to become unlivable unless urban governments put in systems of dealing with this phenomenon and make people aware. It's a major public health challenge," end quote. I'm sure this person, who is now a fellow at the Harvard University School of Public Health, has access to and an understanding of the science of planetary warming, way beyond what's available in the popular press, i.e. available to me. So when I read an expert who says these cities are going to become unlivable unless urban governments put in systems of dealing with this phenomenon and make people aware, I don't know what the hell this person means. Put in systems of dealing with this phenomenon. What kind of system? I mean, in what? In Kolkata? In Delhi? In major cities in South Asia? And Northeast Asia? In China? Cities in the Southern Hemisphere? What systems are they talking about? There is no system, and this is where my ignorance spells out. There's no system that I'm aware of, he said innocently. There's no system that I'm aware of that can isolate one megalopolis like Calcutta, isolate it and protect it and the 20, 30 million people who live there from global warming. How do you do that? How do you isolate Karachi? How do you isolate various cities in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa and Northern Africa? How do you isolate cities in the Middle East? How do you do that? And making people aware, what does that mean? Hey, the planet is heating up. Life in all sorts of various forms is going to come to an end. But we've been told that for 25 years now. 30. It doesn't work. There are no systems that are going to stop global warming. They do not exist. There's only one way to stop global warming. And we're not going to do it. And the only way to stop it is to immediately, I mean, like, what, it's almost 10 o'clock in the evening here in the East. Stop using fossil fuels tomorrow morning. Think about the commuter traffic on all the expressways in America, whether it's Denver, or L.A., or San Francisco, or Atlanta, or New York, or Boston, or Chicago, or Toledo, or Cleveland, or Houston, or Dallas, or Phoenix. How are those people going to get to work? Well, I'm being ridiculous. Cities are going to become unlivable unless urban governments put in systems of dealing with this phenomenon. This is not a phenomenon. Well, I consider myself fairly aware and educated, but not like these experts. What do I know? If I applied for a job as a fellow at the Harvard University School of Public Health, I couldn't get through the front door. But why do these people say this shit? This is ridiculous. Urban governments put in systems of dealing with this phenomenon. What are you talking about? Can you give us an example? Huge fans above the cities? Exhaust systems that suck up the hot air and blow it where? Up. A recent analysis of climate trends in several of South Asia's biggest cities found that if current warming trends continue, by the end of the century, that's more bullshit. It's not going to take till the end of the century. This is 2018. It's not going to take 82 years. If current warming trends continued, by the end of the century, wet bulb temperatures. I never heard of that until I read this article. Wet bulb, B-U-L-B, wet bulb temperatures. Apparently, that's a measure of heat and humidity that can indicate the point when the body can no longer, my body, your body, can no longer cool itself. Wet bulb temperatures would be so high that people directly exposed for 6 hours or more would die. You ever had heat stroke? Okay, not heat stroke. You ever had heat exhaustion? I've had heat exhaustion that I'm aware of twice. And you really do feel like you're going to die. Now, heat stroke is you're dying. And if you or the people you are with cannot get you someplace to lower your body temperature very quickly, you're dead. You're just dead. That's it. You're dead. Your organs can't function at certain, I don't know what the core temperature is, because I'm not educated in how the system, the organs work when they're exposed to extreme heat. But I do know that at some point they don't function anymore. I don't know. What's the temperature? I know if you have a fever of 107, you're probably going to die. So when these experts are talking about urban areas are going to have to institute some kind of system of dealing with this phenomenon. The phenomenon. Which one? Melting ice caps, sea level rise, change in steering currents in the ocean, acidification of the ocean, buildup of carbon dioxide and methane in the atmosphere. What phenomenon are they talking about? Can you imagine trying to even assess that little list I just gave you? Much less do something about it? So I don't know what the experts are talking about. It goes on to say in this article, in many places, heat only magnifies the more thorny urban problems, including a shortage of basic services like electricity and water. Part of this article, they had some really incredible photographs that were taken in Kolkata. And one of them was the side of a building. And there were literally scores of air conditioning units in windows in that building. For people who lived in that building were trying to stay alive. And the air conditioning, these are window air conditioners. If you've ever stood on the outside of a window air conditioner, you know it blows out pretty nasty heat. It's to the point now where the urban experts are saying the use of these air conditioners so that people can survive in their apartments is blowing hot air into the streets, which is causing the temperatures in the cities to rise even further. Holy shit. For India's National Disaster Management Agency, it says here, listen to this. Alarm bells rang after a heat wave struck the normally hot city of Ahmedabad in western India in May 2010, 8 years ago. And temperatures soared to 48 degrees Celsius, about 120 degrees Fahrenheit, which resulted in a 43% increase in death compared to the same period in previous years. 43% increase in mortality. If on a normal day in Ahmedabad, 100 people would die. During this heat wave, 143 people died. Now, here's what it says regarding those urban governments putting in systems of dealing with this so-called phenomenon. Since then, 2010, in some places, local governments, aided by the Natural Resources Defense Council, an advocacy group, this is India, have put in place simple measures. In Ahmedabad, for instance, city-funded vans, yeah, right, distribute free water during the hottest months. The vans that drive around spewing, well. In the eastern coastal city of Bhubaneswar, parks are kept often or open in afternoons so outdoor workers can sit in the shade. Sit in the shade. I mean, sitting in the shade, come on, Mike, thud. Sitting in the shade, how does that deal with global warming? Well, obviously it doesn't. Don't be an asshole, Malloy. It doesn't deal with global warming. It deals with the people who are dying of global warming. Here, sit in the shade. Okay. Occasionally, it says here, elected officials post heat safety tips on social media. Ooh. If you're very hot, get cool. Some cities that have felled trees for construction projects are busy trying to plant new ones. Oh, that'll work. Let's plant some trees. Yeah, but that... Oh, never mind. Now, the science involved of all this, in all this, you know, the reality-based truth, science, stuff that so many people still reject.
Oh, that's bullshit. That's an Obama plot.
The science is unequivocally worrisome. Across the region, South Asia, a recent World Bank report concluded rising temperatures could diminish the living standards of just under 1 billion people. Diminish the living standards. No offense to our Indian brothers and sisters in that part of the world, but if you want to get an idea of the living standards in India, do what I do. Go to YouTube and look for documentaries by the BBC or Indian television, Indian documentary makers, and look at some of the documentaries about how people live in these massive urban areas of India. Now, granted, there is a, I guess you would call it a developing or a developed middle class in India. But just because you live in the middle class doesn't mean you're not going to die from the heat. But the point I'm trying to make, look at some of these videos. If I don't see how the living standards could be diminished any further than they are. You look at the videos. You decide. Look at these documentaries. YouTube. And when you get there, India documentary or slums of Calcutta or what, however you want to look it up. Now, for the people in India, since we're picking on them tonight, among the 100 most populous cities where summer highs are expected to average at least 95 degrees Fahrenheit by 2050. That's what kind of bullshit's that? But anyway, according to estimates by the Urban Climate Change Research Network, 24 of the 100 are in India. A deputy director of Integrated Research for Action and Development in India, Rohit Magotra, is trying to help the capital of India, Delhi, develop a plan to respond to this danger, the steadily rising temperatures that are not going to go down. I mean, come on, for Christ's sake. The first step, he says, is to quantify the human toll. How many people are dying? Mr. Margotra said, quote, heat goes unreported and underreported. They take it for granted. It's a silent killer. On a blistering Wednesday morning with the heat index at 111 degrees Fahrenheit, Mr. Margotra and a team of survey takers snaked through the lanes of a working-class neighborhood in central Delhi. They measured temperatures and humidity inside the brick and tin apartments. They spoke to residents about how the heat affects them. A woman named Kamal told him, quote, only by 4 a.m. when it cools down can we sleep. A shopkeeper named Muhammad Naeem said that while he managed to stay cool in his ground floor space, his father's blood pressure rose every summer as he sweltered in their top floor apartment all day. And the little vignettes like this are scattered all through this article in the Times about the heat that is going to kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people in South Asia. Apparently, starting with India. Ratnesh Tihari, a 42-year-old electrician, said he felt it getting hotter every year. And why would that be surprising? He pointed his chin at the freeway extension he was helping to build. He said, it's a fact. You build a road, you cut down trees. That makes it hotter. Yeah, it does. It really does. It truly, really does. Well, here's one. In Hyderabad, India, an effort is being tested. A pilot project by a team of engineers and urban planners covered a handful of tin-roofed shacks with white tarpaulins. it brought down indoor temperatures by at least 2 degrees, which was enough to make the intolerable tolerable. Now they want to expand this experiment to a 1 square kilometer patch of the city, installing cool roofs, cool walls, and cool sidewalks, and planting trees. The main obstacle right now? Geld, funding. One man who led the cool roof experiment has a personal stake in this project. As a child, he said he would visit his grandfather in Hyderabad. There were trees all over the city, he said. It was known for its gardens. He could walk, even in summer. Now a professor at the Administrative Staff College of India in Hyderabad, Mr. Bilolikar, that's his name, can't walk much. His city is hotter. There are no trees. Air conditioners have proliferated, but they spew hot air outside. At home, this man had resolved not to use his air conditioner because it was adding to the problem. Through his open window, his neighbor's machine blew hot air into his apartment. His 3-year-old daughter became so overheated that her skin was hot to touch. So what did Mr. Bilolikar do? He shut his windows and turned on his air conditioners. How can we continue to ignore this? And ignoring it is what we're doing. I'm not talking about the scientists who are frantic about trying to warn us and have been frantic about trying to warn us. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the what's the population of the earth right now? Humans. 6-7 billion something. We're not doing anything about this. Is it because of the population of 6 or 7 billion people on Earth that the ones who have the authority and the age to make decisions have realized that the decisions they make are not going to help them, so fuck it? Even though they have children and grandchildren, or nieces and nephews. I can't figure out what it is any more than I can figure out why there are people in this country who still support Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, among his base, Christian white people, racist pig fuckers, the support's going up. 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 Now, to show you how corrupt all of this is, there's an organization run by right-wing insane people called the Free Market Environmental Law Clinic in Fairfax, Virginia. And its function has been to cause people to doubt the reality of global warming. And now the future of this group that's been operating for some time, pumping out bullshit and lies and distortions in the interest of advancing the free market environmental law clinic or something. Now they're in trouble. The founders are battling in court over control of the group, as well as some $900,000 in his bank account. One of them, and this is the main guy, David Schneer, has been accused by his former allies of botching the group's tax-exempt status and of attempting to extort $250,000 from its coffers. This is what these right-wing doubles do. This is what Trump does. Every fucking capitalist in America will fuck you without even giving you warning. That is their prime directive. People don't matter. We've got to keep this capitalist machine running, well-oiled, providing us with lots and lots of money. You know how much, what's his name? Who's the guy that owns Amazon? Jeff Bezos. I heard tonight that this man, he's now the richest man on earth, $140 billion. What the fuck is that? $140 billion? Oh, my God. And what does Jeff Bezos do? Amazon. He sells shit or provides the wherewithal for people to buy shit. And they'll deliver the shit to your door 7 times a day if necessary. All kinds of little vehicles running around. Dropping. Where is it? 107. I think it's 140 billion. That's an impossible number. I mean, one person owning more assets than half the population of the earth? Something's wrong. Anyway, back to Free Market Environmental Law Clinic. Oh, and this group is the one that made a name for itself using the legal system to obtain the emails of climate scientists. Now, why would they want the emails of climate scientists? Well, they might find some shitty little communication between a woman and a man who might be having an affair. And if they're climate scientists, well, there you go. Climate science is a bunch of shit. Isn't that what they tried to put on Peter Strzok? Mr. Schneer, David Schneer, he's 70 years old. The fucker doesn't have much longer on this planet. I don't give a shit what kind of health he's in. He's 70. So he was part of the Trump so-called beachhead team. At the Environmental Protection Agency. During the transition from Obama life to Trump death. He didn't last long there, but he was one of the people whose job it was is to get in the Environmental Protection Agency, take a look around, find out what they're doing to try to save us all, check them all off, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, so that when this fucking piece of human waste, Scott Pruitt, showed up, Mr. Schneer could give him a list. Here's the thing to get rid of, according to our great leader, Donald Trump. Anyway, this piece, it was also in the New York Times, goes on to explain how this filthy human has spent a number of years with the so-called free market company trying to and succeeding in sowing confusion, disinformation, misinformation. They have a direct pipeline to filthy pigs like Limbaugh and Hannity. And the rest of these people whose sole function is to lie, cheat, and they're stealing your children's lives, their life expectancy, and your children, and your nieces and nephews, and their cousins. That's what they're stealing. They're stealing the one thing that is totally irreplaceable. It cannot be replaced. Time. They're stealing time. That should be a capital offense, shouldn't it? I think it should. And I'm not even in favor of the death penalty. Apparently, except in certain circumstances. All right, Kathy, if you don't mind getting a break, when we come back, I've got to go down this list. A number of environmental rules that either have been canceled or are on their way out under Trump. Environmental rules that Trump is kicking to the curb. Why? capitalism. Money. I may have talked about this on a previous podcast, but if I don't know if I did or not, but it was updated July 6th. But I have a feeling this is from something about a year ago. But anyway, to date, July of 2018, Trump administration has sought to reverse more than 70 environmental rules. 70 environmental rules. As according to analysis by the New York Times, which is based on research from Harvard Law School's Environmental Regulation Rollback Tracker, Columbia Law School's Climate Tracker, and other sources. And the rules targeted for reversal by the Trump killers so far includes key Obama-era efforts to try to curb planet warming, greenhouse gas emissions. At least Obama made an effort, right? As well as broader air and water pollution controls, and protections for threatened animals and habitats. That's what the Trump administration is ending, rolling back. We don't need that shit. The Trump administration, it says here, has in many instances pared back these regulations in favor of more expansive energy extraction policies. In other words, make the problem worse, often as a direct response to demands or requests from oil, gas, and coal companies. Trump, of course, argues that supporting the fossil fuel industry strengthens the economy. Jesus Christ. Strengthens the economy. All told, the Trump administration's environmental rollbacks could lead to at least 80,000 extra deaths per decade and cause respiratory problems for more than 1 million people, according to a recent analysis conducted by researchers from Harvard University. That number, however, according to Francesca Domenici, a professor of biostatistics at the Harvard School of Public Health, that number is likely to be, quote, a major underestimate of the public health impact. So here are a few policies targeted by the Trump fuckers. Trump, now the first group are ones that Trump has already overturned. He canceled a requirement for oil and gas companies to report their methane emissions. Methane is, what is it, 30, 40, 50 times more heat trapping than carbon dioxide. Cancel requirement for oil and gas companies to report how much they're spewing into the atmosphere. They loosened a Clinton-era rule designed to limit toxic emissions from major industrial polluters. Yeah, fuck that. Number three, directed agencies to stop using an Obama-era calculation of the, quote, social cost of carbon, end quote, that the rulemakers, people decide, you know, the environmental rules, rulemakers used to estimate the long-term economic benefits of reducing carbon dioxide emissions. The long-term economic benefits of reducing carbon dioxide emissions. The Trump administration says, oh, no, fuck no, fuck no, get rid of that. But the long-term economic benefits, no. Number four, the Trump bastard has revoked a rule from the year 2015 that prohibited the use of hydrofluorocarbons, powerful greenhouse gases, as a replacement for ozone-depleting substances. Now, remember this back in the 70s, huh? 70s and 80s? The hydrofluorocarbons or the fluorodiboracarbons, the stuff that was in deodorant spray and hairspray and all this other stuff. And it was eating a hole in the ozone or some such shit. Nobody paid attention back then. Who cared, right? But there's a rule that said, okay, we got to stop using that stuff. And with very little fanfare, the entire world pretty much banned the production and or use of fluorochlorofluorocarbons. As a result, the ozone hole got smaller. Yay! That rule's gone now. Number five, repeal the requirement that state and regional authorities track tailpipe emissions from vehicles traveling on federal highways. Don't have to do that anymore. That was one that was a good idea. Because most, it's my understanding that most of the carbon being dumped into the atmosphere that's killing life on this planet comes from internal combustion engines. And the biggest offender of that, of course, is the U.S. military. But we civilians contribute a lot of that shit, too. Well, they wanted to get some numbers. Tailpipe emissions. So let's just find out how much is coming, how much is spewing out of there. Maybe we can develop cleaner burning internal combustion. Oh, no! No, 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 no. That's gone. Number six. The Trump bastard withdrew guidance for federal agencies to include greenhouse gas emissions when they do an environmental review. You know, somebody wants to build a factory. Okay. Before you can build a factory in that nice green piece of suburban property there, you're going to have to do some environmental studies about how much carbon dioxide you're going to puke into the air. Trump said, no, you don't have to do it. However, several district courts have ruled that emissions must be included in such reviews. So that was one where the courts won and Trump lost. Now, here are some that are in process of being overturned. A proposed repeal of the Clean Power Plan. Trump wants to get rid of that. The Clean Power Plan sets strict limits on carbon emissions from existing coal and gas-fired power plants. And in July, that's now, the EPA drafted a new, more conservative replacement. By conservative, they mean fuck the numbers. Just pretend like you're keeping track of this stuff. Number eight, we're all familiar with, withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement. That process of withdrawing, by the way, can't be completed until 2020. So we're still in it. Not for long. Number nine, drafted changes to fuel economy standards for cars and light trucks that would have been made between the years 2020 and 2025 that would have reduced tailpipe emissions. Gone! Number 10, the Trump bastard is reviewing, or his scum-sucking people, reviewing recently updated standards for limiting carbon dioxide emissions from new, modified, and reconstructed power plants. They want to get rid of all those numbers that were provided by the Obama administration. This is what we have to reduce it to. Nah, fuck that. Number 11. The Trump bastard is reviewing emissions rules for power plant startups, shutdowns, and malfunctions. Now, when they say they're reviewing emissions rules, that means they want to get rid of them. Number 12. Trump proposed repealing an Obama-era rule limiting methane emissions on public lands. Public lands, you know, lands run by the Interior Department or the Bureau of Land Management or the U.S. Forestry Service or what have you. The Obama-era rule would try to limit methane emissions on public lands. No, 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 says Trump. No, no, no. We may want to punch holes and look for natural gas. And the process of looking for natural gas releases tremendous amounts of methane. Number 13. The Trump bastard changed rules for oil and gas facilities to allow methane leaks to go unrepaired during unscheduled or emergency shutdowns, and proposed withdrawing guidelines that reduce emissions from existing sources. So they want, the Trump bastard wants methane leaks when they develop in the fracking process or in whatever process where methane is released. Methane leaks, let them go unrepaired if it's an emergency shutdown. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? None of this shit makes sense. Number 14, put on hold rules aimed at cutting methane emissions from landfills. Right. Number 15. The Trump criminals proposed repealing emission standards for trailers in response to petitions from the glider industry, glider kits. Gliders are trucks retrofitted with older, dirtier engines. Right? You know what that means. You know, if you have a semi tractor, a semi cab, and the engine is just shot. So the person or the company that owns the truck, they need a new engine. Well, there were emission standards that were put in place during the Obama administration that said, okay, you can go ahead and do that, but you have got to make sure that the emissions coming out of that old engine you want to put in that truck, that those emissions do not violate these guidelines. Trump administration, fuck that. So that's going too. Glider kits, they're called. Number 16, Trump announced plans to review permitting programs for air polluting plants and made two small changes through guidance documents. I don't know what that means. Number 17, Trump announced a rewrite of the EPA's update in 2017, just a year ago, to a rule meant to reduce air pollution in national parks and wilderness areas. Now, we want more pollution in national parks and wilderness areas. Trump does. Okay, drilling and extraction. The Trump administration lifted a freeze on new coal leases on public lands. Oh, they're giving away like they're at a charity ball or something. The Trump administration has opened nearly all of America's coastal waters to offshore gas and oil drilling. The Trump administration has made significant cuts to the borders of two national monuments in Utah and recommended border and resource management changes in several more so that the drilling industry, the extraction industry, can get in there and make lots of money. Revoked an Obama-era executive order protecting ocean, coastal, and Great Lakes waters in favor of a policy focused on energy production. Revoked an Obama-era executive order protecting ocean, coastal waters, and the Great Lakes, and that was replaced by a policy focused on punching more holes in the earth, releasing more methane, releasing more carbon dioxide, and killing us quicker. And we give a fuck about what this monster says with his little his little friend Putin in Helsinki while this shit's going on? The Trump administration repealed an Obama-era rule governing royalties for oil, gas, and coal leases on federal lands, which replaced a rule in 1980 that critics said allowed companies to underpay the federal government. Not only are they killing us, but they're fucking us on the money that these companies are supposed to pay the government, the, you know, the leases when they go on public lands. Never mind. The Trump administration scrapped a rule that mines, coal mines, uranium mines, silver mines, prove that they can pay to clean up future pollution before they start digging. Rule's gone. The Trump administration withdrew a requirement that oil rig owners were going to punch holes in the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. Remember that one, don't we? A requirement that those oil rig owners prove they can cover the costs of removing rigs once they've stopped producing. What does that mean? It means they can just, when they've got all the oil out that they can get from the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico in a certain area, then they just walk away or swim away from the rig? Just leave it standing there? Woo. This one you've heard about. Approved the Keystone XL pipeline, rejected by Obama. Environmental groups and some Nebraska landowners oppose the pipeline. Illegal challenges remain. Approved the Dakota Access Pipeline, blocked by the Obama administration following protests at Standing Rock over concerns that the pipeline poses a risk to the region's drinking water. Fuck the drinking water. Be like Trump. Buy bottled water. The Trump administration reversed how the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission considers the indirect effects of greenhouse gas emissions in environmental reviews of pipelines. Don't have to do that anymore. The Trump administration opened up drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. In April of 2018, the Interior Department announced it was taking steps to prepare for a lease sale in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And that sale, in fact, is, I think, ongoing right now. Caribou, wolves, fuck 'em. The Trump administration ordered a review, which means get rid of them, of regulations on oil and gas drilling in national parks. National parks. Can you see the Grand Canyon or some equivalent? Maybe Glacier National Park, where there's not going to be any glaciers within the next 5 years. But oil rigs sitting out there where you want to take a selfie. And there's you and mom and the kids and there's oil rigs behind you. Oh, well, fuck it. The Trump administration proposed changes, that means cancel, regulations for oil well control and blowout prevention systems implemented after the Deepwater Horizon disaster in 2010 in the Gulf of Mexico. So the rules that were put in place to prevent the kind of disaster that occurred with the Deepwater Horizon, those rules are gone now. The Trump administration proposed the use of seismic air guns for gas and oil exploration in the Atlantic. Now, use of those air guns sounds like air rifle, like a BB gun, right? No, it's not that. these things cause tremendous, well, explosions, sound waves, that can kill marine life and disrupt fisheries. That was stopped under the Obama administration and the Trump administration. So I'll fuck the fish. You know, be like Trump. Just go down to a restaurant and get some fish. What do you need fish? You gotta fuck fish. The Trump administration ordered the review, that means cancel, a rule developed after the 2013 Kulik accident. I think that was the floating Shell oil platform that was going to be put in the Arctic Ocean. Yeah. Get rid of a rule developed after the Kulik accident regulating offshore oil and gas exploration by floating vessels in the Arctic. Woo! This list goes on and on. I don't want to. I mean, there's 80 of these rules that I have here that were put in place by either the Clinton administration or the George W. Bush administration or the Obama administration that Trump, being the empty-headed evil fucker that he is, you know, he listens to the capitalists who come and whisper in his ear, get rid of that shit. Come on, Don. If you want to get reelected, get rid of this in the way. You know, we don't want this. You know, while I understand perfectly, not perfectly. Who understands anything perfectly? But I understand thoroughly, that's a better word, the need, the absolute necessity to point out Trump's treasonous acts and impeachable acts that he has committed since this piece of shit has become president. You know, we need to know that, even though 40% of the voters in this country totally reject it, totally reject all of it. They love Trump. Trump's a good Christian man. He's getting rid of all that shit that the Obama administration put in our way of success. But I realize that it's important to know what kind of a coward and a lousy leader, well, he's not a leader, Trump is, and what he's doing to undo so much that has been put together over the past 30, 40, 50 years in a feeble attempt to try to protect certain parts of the environment, to try to reduce the rate of global warming. We're not going to stop it, but try to reduce the rate of it. Aren't these impeachable offenses? Kind of makes me sad. Kathy, it's time for a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Maria Butina. Eh? You heard about her. She's the one who was the pipeline or the I guess you would call it the facilitator between Russian crime money and the NRA, so the NRA could turn around and give all this Russian crime money to Trump. The NRA. Now, if you're a member of the NRA, you are a member of an organization that is working hand in hand with the fascist government of Russia. Oh, but you know that. All right, we'll be right back. What it needs.
world.
All right. I completely let the time slip by me. We were going to take some phone calls. Let's try it now. Rather than talk about Maria Butina, she'll be around. She's been indicted, so she'll be around for a while. The phone number here is 470-545-1950. And if you'd like to call in with, you know, your take on Trump's performance of late, we would like to hear, I'd like to hear what you have to say. 470-545-1950. Four, seven, zero, five, four, five, 1950. Last chance. Oh, there's somebody. We snag somebody. All right. Well, it looks like we have. Looks like we have Bruce. Is that Bruce, Kathy? Huh? Prairie 2. Oh, my God. Hey, Bruce. How are you? Bruce, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, Mike.
Man, it's been like, I don't know, what, 5 years since we...
Well, it sort of seems like it.
Damn. How do you feel about the way things are going, Bruce? Bruce was our economic affairs advisor. Yeah, he still is. We never fired you.
Well, I think we're... going to start living in those interesting times the ancient Chinese like to talk about.
Oh, God, no.
Well, it's going to take a while to unwind the relative prosperity of the Obama years, but Trump is working at it.
Boy, isn't he? You know, I realize that it should not be a shock at all about how Trump conducted himself at the NATO summit and with Putin. That should not come as a shock to any of us. The news media, of course, are acting as though this is just a horrific event that nobody knew was going to happen. And I think that's just crap, don't you? I mean, didn't everybody know that Trump is what he is?
Well, anybody that's been paying attention to the money knows exactly what's going on between Trump and Putin. Putin holds his purse strings. Trump ran out of money back in 2006 when the banks stopped giving loans for real estate investments, but Trump never ran out of money.
Isn't that when Trump Jr. said, we don't have to worry about that because we have all the money we need from the Russians? Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. And they've made reference to that otherwise as well. I mean, Trump was just at one of his golf courses in Scotland. And it turns out that Trump paid cash for those golf courses.
Yeah, I heard that the other day. I read that the other day.
You know, a couple $100 million. Trump doesn't have anything like that kind of money. People have been following his litigation over the decades, say that he's functionally broke.
Mm-hmm.
That the only real money he has is he's been getting from the Russians.
Well, he's making money now, though, isn't he? Since he became president, oh my God, is he raking in the money?
Well, yes. Every trip to one of his resorts costs the taxpayers in the profit he makes off it,
mm-hmm.
upwards of $250,000.
Right.
Out of about $3 million it takes to put on one of these trips. Trump personally is profiting $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't take his salary. That's almost almost $400,000 a year before taxes.
Right.
And you know, he's, and of course, in running it through any of these corporations, he's probably not paying any taxes either.
But we don't know if he's taking or not taking his salary, because we don't know how he files his tax returns and what his income or outgo or deductions are. And I don't think we'll ever know.
Oh, well, he does file disclosures. He apparently does donate his presidential salary.
Oh, does he?
That seems to be true.
Yeah.
But compared to what he rakes in, I mean, 2 weeks, two trips, which sometimes he does that in 1 week, it makes him more than that.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised that there are certain people in the positions of importance in this country? They're not necessarily in the government anymore, but the use of the word treason and traitor that are being batted around now. Do you agree? I said earlier tonight that, you know, if you define treason, it usually carries with it the requirement that the nation be at war with some country. And when you aid and abet the enemy, that would be considered treason. And we are at war, according to our intelligence agencies. We're in a cyber war. And if Trump is doing what he's doing, is that treason?
Well, yes. It almost has to be. I don't know if you can... The thing is, we have to remember there are things we don't know yet.
Right, right.
I mean, there were things in this last couple of indictments that point to the likelihood that things are going to come out that are more damning than anything we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, this money laundering, you know, they just the woman you were going to talk about that was laundering money through the NRA, that's not the only case of that that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
If people wonder why the Republicans in Congress are defending him, a lot of those people have been getting Russian money.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't want that to suddenly become a bad thing.
So it's going to get incredibly messy, and I think it's going to get incredibly messy fairly quickly, fairly soon. You've got to acknowledge the fact that Mueller, who put together this incredible team of investigators and prosecutors, I remember when he was organizing the people that were going to work directly under him, he brought together experts in all sorts of different fields of so-called white-collar crime or international crime. And I think the pundits pointed out at the time that this was not going to be a Ken Starr bullshit trip or anything like that. This was going to be a real, true, in-depth, prosecutable, indictable investigation that was going to turn up rocks and expose all sorts of crawly things. Remember that?
Oh, yes. The bulk of the people that Mueller has hired have been, you know, basically people that work on forensic accounting and things like that. I mean, Mueller's history is about taking down organized crime.
Right, right.
And of course, that involves the Russians. You know, Trump has chosen to align himself that we have the bulk of the federal government has been dedicated to basically going to war with for the last 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Russians don't have nearly as many secrets as they'd like to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the details in these indictments about the Russians' names and places and times and everything. I mean, the CIA and the NSA and other spy agencies gave up a lot of information to put together that indictment. Stuff that they don't normally want to part with.
Yeah, that's so
the Russians probably learned more about what we've been doing than we learned about them
through those indictments.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, you know, that had to reveal a lot of sources and and methodology that the Russians didn't know about.
Well, that's an indication to me, anyway, that that Mueller's objective here, it seems like Mueller's objective is to bring this president to a position where if the Congress decides to do so, they will have plenty of evidence to impeach him and convict him.
Well, it sounds like there's obviously unnamed people, or the people that went unnamed in these indictments. There's at least one congressman, I think, that is going to go down.
I wonder who that's going to be.
Round of indictments.
Yeah.
Well, they were speculating about that on the news, and one of the news programs. There's a number of Republicans that fit the bill. But the thing is that not only is Mueller dedicated to doing this, but then the heads of the intelligence agencies that gave up this information apparently are taking it very seriously.
Very seriously. I guess they've had enough of being told that they're useless idiots. Hey, Bruce, we're just absolutely out of time. I'm glad you called in. Don't be a stranger. We're gonna start taking calls again on this silly little podcast. So call in once in a while, will you?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Bruce, thank you very much. You have a nice evening.
You too, Mike.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, there you go. Kathy said, I told you we could do phone calls. All right, I'm sorry we only got in one, but I'm glad to hear from Bruce Enberg. Boy, it's been a while. It's been a while. I'll see you the next time we get together. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.